Welcome back to Palisade Radio. I'm your host, Tom Bodrovics, and joining me on the line this evening is Colin Cattell. Colin, how are you this evening?
Hey, Tom, I'm good. It's certainly an eventful evening for us to be speaking on. Today was the largest percentage drop in the U.S. equities market since before I was born, back in 1987, in fact. So it was a fun night for us to do this for our first weekly update.
Seems like the end of a very exciting week for every market. Everything seemed to be down this week except for volatility, and gold and silver seemed to hang up pretty well.
Yeah. You know, up until today, just speaking about gold specifically, gold really was shocking me. And I think a lot of market participants, especially resource participants, we look back at 2008. And in 2008, when the market started to crash, gold crashed along with it. And of course, gold stopped its decline faster than the equity market. And then it kind of reversed and really took off and was the top performer until 2011. But nice to see up until today that gold was range bound between 1640 and 1660. And that was in light of a rush into US dollars, which one would think would normally push the gold price down. So gold did crack a little bit today, but probably not shocking considering we saw a 10% decline in the overall U.S. equities. The I think a couple big stories that are going on in my mind right now is the Fed and also the virus. So, you know, I guess starting with what seems to have caused all this, the virus. Today seemed like the first day that the equity markets in the U.S. really took hold of what is at stake here. You know, I'm not saying that I was smarter than the market in picking this up, because I think there's been a certain level of disbelief for everybody. You know, go back to a couple months where China was shutting down and nobody really knew what to make of how bad the virus was. Was it going to spread? Nobody's seen this in our lifetimes before. You know, what kind of economic impact could this have? But starting in the last couple of weeks, we start to see cases pop up in the United States. We're watching what's happening in Italy abroad. And, you know, it can become pretty clear that whether the virus is going to kill people or not, what it is doing is it's making people stay at home. It's making businesses grind to a halt. And this is in the midst of an equity market that everybody in some way, shape or form would admit is overheated. And so that term, you know, a black swan event, the coronavirus is certainly, you know, the poster child for a black swan that probably you and I will think about for the rest of our lives. At the same time, we've had the Fed, which has maybe been a little slow to take action, but also is probably just as confused as most market participants and as confused as President Donald Trump seemed last night while he was giving that really awful address to the nation. The Fed came in today during I think it was around noon, and they discussed pumping $1 trillion into the debt market over the next few weeks. There was an instant move up, but then things crashed and actually came back lower than they were. And this is the third time this week that the Fed has intervened into the markets. And to the credit of a lot of the talking heads out there in the resource market, I could think of Peter Schiff, for example, broken record in many ways over the last few years, but absolutely spot on. The Fed's impact is simply not there like it was in 2008. Their bullets are used up. The toolkit is empty. And yet they're going to have to do everything they possibly can over the coming weeks and months ahead to try to protect the U.S. economy and global economy from falling apart. You know, this crash is in many ways, I think, just beginning, at least the impact that's going to be realized. You know, today we saw that Major League Baseball, NHL hockey, NCAA, NBA are all either being suspended or considered to be suspended until further notice. It's the sort of thing that maybe has struck the American public finally as, you know, how serious that this is. But there's a lot of things people aren't thinking about yet. And that's what companies are going to have to start cutting their workforces is unemployment going to start to pick up. The restaurant industry, nobody wants to go to a restaurant right now. I just spoke to a person out of New York who runs 25 restaurants across the United States, big restaurants. They're cutting jobs faster than they ever have. You know, anybody in the transport sector, the cruise line business, the airline business, these companies are all cutting jobs at record pace right now. And so when the Fed does really start to step in here, unlike 08, where you know, they were stepping in maybe with a bit more of an economic focus. This time it's going to be more with a survival focus. And I think it's going to have different, it's going to have different effects. And it should be something to watch the next couple of months. Yeah, it's going to be pretty shocking.
I think it's going to take a long time to observe all the ramifications of the supply chain disruptions and fully realize the extent of the damage to every single market and possibly realize a global, not just recession, but more of a depression, right?
I think that's a very real possibility. I'm trying to weigh everything out that I'm seeing. So for example, a positive that I just read, Apple has 60 stores across China. And starting in mid-February, they actually started opening them back up. And by this week, they'll be fully reopened. So, you know, for me, that's a positive sign that the news out of China that the virus was contained possibly and deaths and infections are on the decline seems to be confirmed by, you know, something more credible than the Chinese government. On the other hand, in the United States, my feeling is that the government is not taking the appropriate measures They're not testing anybody. The spreading has probably been rampant. And we actually have not hit the moment of realization of just how bad it is, let alone try to take the draconian steps that a communist country like China can take to contain it. And so it actually could get much worse here than it ever got in China. You know, so it's taking all these inputs and figuring out, you know, what you think the result's going to be. I think longer term the virus is going to die off, or you know it'll reach kind of its maximum effects and it'll start to recede, and at that point the market will begin to digest and start to recover. But you know, I think there's a much bigger issue at hand, and I think the virus is kind of the last step that tipped everything over in the economy. I think you're right. There could be something much more prolonged and not the V bottom that we witnessed in 2008, where everything just magically recovered. I don't see that happening.
So in this market where everything seems to be going down, including the miners, the junior miners, even the mid-tiers and big guys, is there anything that you think is a safe haven, let's say short term?
For me, the two obvious ones are cash and gold itself. But from the perspective of a resource investor, I think there's, I just painted a pretty bleak picture for the overall market, but actually for a resource investor, I think there's a significant silver lining to be had here, which is, the market for the most part has been negatively correlated to the junior resource and the resource companies in general the last couple of years. And so this reset, if you will, and quickly pushing the equities into a bear market, in turn will very quickly propel the resource companies into a bull market. And everything that the Fed is going to be forced to do here, and all the fear that this virus and the market collapse is going to create, are all going to benefit the resource stocks in both the mid to the long term. And when I say midterm, you know, I'm speaking somewhere in the 3 to 9 month range from now where that will begin. In the very immediate term, I'm starting to, look at the deep discounts that are being had in these resource stocks. So, Tom, think about this. The TSX Venture Exchange, which houses 75% of the junior public companies in the resource space around the world, 2 weeks ago was already at its all-time low. And today it's now 25% lower than it was 2 weeks ago. That's compared to the Dow Jones, which is now hitting 22,000. It was there last 18 to 24 months ago. So there's a lot more downside to be had in the general equities, whereas the resource market is, you know, in the depths of a bear market and now has every fundamental in place to go into a rip-roaring bull market.
And, so short-term, you're not looking at toilet paper?
Yeah, I think having a sufficient supply of toilet paper in one's house is probably a good idea to deal with the short-term problems that one can produce. But I think that the resource stocks are starting to get to the point where they're worth nibbling away at. And as you know, Tom, I set Palisades Gold Corp up 6-7 months ago and have created a portfolio that's north of $100 million of junior resource equities. And we're fortunately sitting on a nice pile of cash right now. And this is a discussion we've just started having internally the last couple of days, that there's companies out there that can be considered junior companies, but have enough cash to sufficiently weather the storm. They also have, you know, assets that have real ounces in the ground and teams behind them that are, you know, stellar performers. And those companies are starting to become very, very attractive to start adding, you know, or building positions. And I can't believe I would ever say this, but at this exact moment, companies that are seeking capital out because they don't have any capital left are, I think, very risky, have no bid, and have, you know, the ability for the floor under them to fall out and drop a lot more. So, yeah, it's I think it's going to be a few months before, you know, you start to see these really undercapitalized junior companies be in a situation to start moving up.
What's your opinion on the price action of silver? It hasn't seen the same bounce as gold. Do you think there's more of an opportunity there?
I would say certainly that silver is going to outperform gold in the years ahead. I say that with almost absolute certainty. You know, on the one hand, today we saw the silver to gold ratio go above 100 to 1. So, you know, it takes over 100 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. But at the same time, there's positive tidbits of news I'm seeing out there. For example, I just got sent an article a few minutes ago that the U.S. Mint announced Thursday that it's temporarily sold out of American Eagle silver coins, which tells me that, you know, the retail appetite, the fear of the, you know, American people is at a point where silver is becoming a very attractive investment, and retail investors, you know, the smaller investors, if you will, as opposed to central banks, buy silver, whereas the bigger guys buy gold. So I think silver is probably going to be one of the most, from looking from today, one of the most attractive investments over the next few years. I think it's going to produce incredible returns. Silver typically moves a little bit after gold moves, but it has much greater moves.
Excellent, Colin. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, Tom, I think that pretty much covers it. We've got some ups and a lot probably of downs ahead in the next few weeks. But, you know, for the niche of the market that I would expect to be talking to right now, the resource investors, I think in many ways this is the beginning of a really significant move, and everything that's going to result out of this is going to be of huge benefit to the small sliver of the market that's paying attention to commodities. So I look forward to seeing how things evolve and continuing to talk through this with you on an ongoing basis.
Hopefully the beginning of something we've all been waiting for.
Yeah, for sure. Unfortunately, at the expense of the overall market, and, you know, with the unfortunate existence of the coronavirus, but you know, that will pass in time. And for resource investors, something something to look forward to, a bull market ahead potentially.
Awesome, Colin. Thanks very much. As always, if there's anything you would like us, any questions or comments, please let me know at tom@palisaderadio.com. This is a new format, and let us know if you like it. Thanks very much, Colin.
Thanks, Tom.
Think you understand the junior mining sector, and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people, hit the bid.
How violent that term could be, it actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on in Yemen?